Hi, I'm Vincent Valk, and welcome to the latest edition of Chemical Week's podcast. My guest today is Greg Bach, who is Vice President and General Manager at Anew Water Technologies. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Vincent. Thank you for taking the time chatting with me today.
Great, and thanks for coming on. So we're going to talk a little bit about Anew, which is sort of an early stage company in water treatment, doing some interesting things, and with a particular focus on digitalization and how it sort of underpins what Anew does. And I think to kind of kickstart the discussion, Greg, tell us a little bit about Anew and about how digitalization plays into your strategy, because, you know, as I said, I know you're an earlier stage company kind of coming into this big high barrier to entry sector. So I would think that you've got a somewhat different perspective on certain aspects of it from that regard. And I know digitalization is core to what you're trying to accomplish. So maybe if you could speak to those sides of it to get started.
Sure. So as you indicated, we are a newer company, and we are focused primarily on a municipal marketplace, and we will be making inroads into the industrial marketplace even as we speak. But our equipment and our path to market is more of a green or sustainable technology utilizing oxygen and ozone to minimize the effects of hydrogen sulfide gas, odor, and corrosion. And our technology is fairly advanced and could be complicated had we not had the ability for remote telecommunication, that we can control the equipment, we can look at the equipment, we can help our clients better understand what's going on with flows and pressures and oxygen purity and things of that nature.
So you say that your technology could be more complicated. I mean, how is it that having digital tools simplifies your technology?
Well,
maybe simplifies isn't the right word, but
now it's ease of use. I don't think that simplifies is the right word, but indeed it is ease of use. So quite often our equipment is placed in a remote location, not always easy to get to. It could be in a very cold environment with snow. It could be in the mountains of Colorado. And from that standpoint, when an operator needs to go take a look at the equipment or make changes or whatnot, there's value that he can do it or she can do it remotely. We can work with that client simultaneously while they're online with the equipment to ensure that our parameters are in line from an environmental standpoint, that they are being efficient as possible, and allows them to take this complicated PLC with lots of digital inputs, outputs, analog inputs, and things of that nature, and simplify it for them so that they can get the end result of minimized hydrogen sulfide gas and minimum corrosion.
Okay. So I know you're tackling the hydrogen sulfide gas and corrosion issues in particular, correct?
Yes, on the vast majority of our equipment.
Okay. So I guess, is this kind of a situation where you've got, you know, the equipment comes with, you know, sort of digital sensors that then transmit data into a software program kind of situation?
There are various data points that we look at, both from the end user. We may look at a resident pump, their temperatures, their flows, their pressures, things of that nature that tell our PLC what the specific parameters are at a specific instance, such that our equipment can make a decision as to how much oxygen or how much ozone is needed, and it's able to feed that, and it feeds the oxygen and ozone, and also has the ability to measure how much it's feeding, and then make a decision, do I need more or do I need less? And it does all that instantaneously. If it senses that there is something that is out of compliance or not operating correctly, it'll try to adjust it. If it can't adjust it, it has the ability to call out either via email, directly. It can call the end user. It can call anew. It says, hey, something's not quite right. I need you to take a look at me. And it'll go ahead and do that.
Gotcha. So that's interesting. So the equipment has the ability to sort of self-correct to a certain extent?
Yeah, that's a true statement. It certainly does.
Interesting. So how does that work?
Again, in compiling data on what is going on instantaneously with the end user's equipment, whatever's going on with that force main, it makes a decision as to how much oxygen it needs to feed. It monitors the purity of the oxygen. The more pure the oxygen, the more efficient we can operate. And it also helps us to generate a better quality of ozone as well. So it continually looks at that data 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, probably 30 times a minute in comparing that data. To ensure that the client is getting precisely what they need from a preventative standpoint in the generation of the hydrogen sulfide and such.
So there's almost an element of sort of, I hesitate to use this word, but there's almost this phrase, but there's almost an element of like machine learning to it, where it kind of adjusts on the basis of the data inputs.
That is a correct statement. It really does. All within limits. There are limits to the parameters that are programmed into the PLC that will allow the modulating valves to open and close to a certain instance. And when it goes beyond that, it says, "Hey, you're asking me to do too much, or this doesn't seem quite right. Somebody needs to take a look at me."
Got it. That makes sense. I mean, there's a certain level at which you kind of want to have an expert going in there and making sure that everything is operating correctly. But
that's correct.
Yeah. So to what extent is this sort of digital aspect to the system a part of your value proposition?
It's a huge part of our value proposition. Being in a in Atlanta and having this equipment throughout the United States and Canada, the client, when we look at this, there's the process from the pre-installation review to the initial drawings to the sizing to the engineering to the delivery of the equipment and the installation of the equipment, it could be a little intimidating. For somebody or a municipality that has never done it previously. And they're not always inexpensive. They certainly are the proper solution. But our clients want to know, hey, if I'm in trouble, are you going to be there to help me? And the answer is yes, we will be there to help you. We'll work on it together remotely. If we run into a situation where you do need boots on the ground to help you out, we can get out and help you immediately. But by having the call out capabilities, we will get alarm codes that tells us an air compressor pressure is not right, a volume delivery is not quite right. One of the sensors had a failure. The computer tells us more often than not precisely what the issue is. Mm-hmm. And we can arm the end user with the tools that they need to have when they go out there to resolve the issue. Do they have the proper drawings? I can tell you what terminal blocks that you would need to unwire to replace a flow meter or an oxygen sensor. And I can walk them through any issues that they have there. And again, if it's a larger issue, I don't know, I'll say an HMI or a PLC failure occurs, more often than not, we can ship them that major component pre-configured such that they can pull one unit out, put the next unit in, and they're off the ground and they're running again.
Okay, so I'm going to ask for a little clarification here, Greg, which some people listening may be curious about too. What is an HMI or a PLC?
Okay, so the PLC is a programmable logic controller, and okay, that's the brains of the system. So that's a box that sits behind the enclosure door that takes all your analog inputs and your digital inputs and utilizes ladder logic to make decisions on what it needs to do.
Got it, okay.
On the front of your panel is typically your display that has a touch screen. You have many cars that have a touch screen.
Yeah.
And that would be your human-machine interface, HMI, that allows us to press.
Okay.
Makes sense.
That makes sense. So it's you got a display there, and there's a touch screen like in the console of in a car or an iPad or something like that.
You're exactly right.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Let's just kind of switch a little bit to a couple more broader topics, Greg. Sure. I know you've been in the industry for a long time. Worked at some leading water treatment companies. What is digitalization been a big topic in water treatment for a while, and seems like it's growing over time, or the sort of need for it is growing over time, maybe you should say. Mm-hmm. What is driving the need for more digital solutions in water treatment in your experience?
I would say the biggest driver for that need is sustainability and sustainable technologies. The environmental regulations are getting tighter and tighter all the time. And it's more important to stay within those regulations and certain parameters. At the same time, everybody's also cost conscious and wants to be cognizant of their manpower use. They want to be cognizant of energy consumption, mm-hmm, water consumption, and it's imperative that the automation that's in the industry has the ability to quickly react to non-compliances as quickly as possible. So whatever the technology, whether it's a new technologies or a cooling tower controller or boiler controller, anything of that nature that's monitoring pressures, temperatures, flows, all of those items are in our industry to ensure that we are working as efficiently as possible to minimize waste and keep us in compliance. So it all circles around sustainability, and that's all industries and municipalities are certainly focused and should be focused on a greener future for our families.
Yeah, I mean, the idea, I guess, being that the more tools you have to measure your inputs and outputs and react to what you discover as you measure things, the greater potential for, you know, having a more sustainable operation there is.
Agreed.
Sort of as a general statement, and it definitely applies to water treatment, and there are ways that it applies to other aspects of the industry, of the chemical industry as well. And finally, I would say, Greg, you mentioned that most of the news business is in the municipal market, but you've in the past done worked with the industrial water treatment side as well, right?
Absolutely, and it's interesting that you said that because I'm an old field guy, believe it or not. Did services and opened up service centers in Philadelphia, San Francisco, Los Angeles, back when we used to do computerized chemical feeds with an Apple IIe computer. And the communications technology was 232 and 485 and Cat 5. And now we're talking wireless and just instantaneous communication. So the ability and the speed with which the communication, the data acquisition, the statistical analysis of that data, where it used to take days and weeks, are now seconds.
Yeah, it is funny, just, you know, in general, if you think about it, a lot of this stuff at some point in maybe the past five-ish years, it seems like it has it reaches a certain inflection point, and then suddenly it becomes useful, right? Because people talked about this for a long time prior to that, but until fairly recently, it wasn't really practicable. And now all of a sudden, we've reached the inflection point, and it is.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, as you were talking about the need for utilizing this technology in industry and from a chemical standpoint, you know, you're talking, you know, whatever you're manufacturing, it's power, it could be protein, garment manufacturing, whatever it is, everybody uses tremendous amounts of water. And it's probably one of the highest cost centers for any manufacturing facility. So you have these controllers with data acquisition. There's various suppliers for it to monitor your makeup and blowdown for cooling towers to drive your cycles of concentration up as high as you possibly can without adversely affecting, you know, your heat transfer from a scale and corrosion inhibition standpoint. People are pushing their boilers as hard as they can to cycle those up as well. And it's always talking, you know, not only for an efficiency standpoint from electricity, gas, and water, but there's also the safety factors that are also implemented when you're monitoring these data points and getting your alarms out. An operator has the ability to say, hey, something's not right and it's dangerous. I'm not going to go into that area. I'm going to wait to get support and do something differently. So, you know, we're talking about efficiency. We're talking about profitability. But let's not forget the importance that it plays in the safety of our operators and engineers that work in these facilities every day.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I'm glad that you referenced the importance of water treatment to so many different manufacturing industrial sectors, because really what I wanted to ask you about here is, are there differences in terms of what customers sort of need or want or ask about from digital tools with regard to municipal versus industrial water treatment? I mean, are there differences between those? And if so, what are they?
Yeah, I think there is. You know, both municipal and industrial environments are concerned about efficiency. They're concerned about the environment. They're concerned about public opinion and their brand name.
Yeah.
But industrial has one more thing that they need to worry about, and that's profitability and responsibility to their shareholders. And when they are busy manufacturing their product, whatever that product might be, they're not always necessarily focused on water treatment and chemical feed systems until, of course, there's an issue, and then that's always the highest priority. But the utilization of automation, remote communication, and data analytics becomes very, very important with respect to water treatment in the industrial marketplace. The plant managers really do count on the operators and their assorted vendors to monitor the water treatment, the electricity consumption, and things of that nature. So for me, I think the one of the larger differentiators is the need to provide profit and cost savings to the plant and to the shareholders.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there are budget constraints in municipal, but they probably operate in a different way, kind of.
Yeah, they're in my opinion focused on efficiency, trying to work within a budget to the best of their ability, and you know, they're very much focused on the environment again as they should be.
That makes sense. Well, all right, Greg. Thanks very much for your time. Appreciated having you on the podcast.
Well, I can't thank you enough for taking the time and chatting with me. And hopefully, between the two of us, we provided some value to some people, and we'll get something out of this.
I would hope that anyone listening did find the discussion valuable or at least interesting. So, you know, on that note, Greg, thanks again. And this is Vincent Volk signing off for Chemical Week.
Thank you, Vincent.